If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Newton Media Group, a family of creative services, presents the Voice Over Work podcast, an eclectic collection of insights, knowledge, and trivia from some of the newest audiobooks on the market. This is Russell Newton. I'll be your host for the podcast, and thank you for listening. Hope things are going well for you today. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at Thomas Paine Collection, Common Sense, The Age of Reason, and The Rights of Man by Thomas Paine, narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1, The Old Testament. It has often been said that anything may be proved from the Bible, but before anything can be admitted as proved by Bible, the Bible itself must be proved to be true. For if the Bible be not true, or the truth of it be doubtful, it ceases to have authority, and cannot be admitted as proof of anything. It has been the practice of all Christian commentators on the Bible, and of all Christian priests and preachers, to impose the Bible on the world as a mass of truth, and as the Word of God. They have disputed and wrangled, and have anathematized each other about the supposable meaning of particular parts and passages therein. One has said and insisted that such a passage meant such a thing, another that it meant directly the contrary, and a third that it meant neither one nor the other, but something different from both. And this they have called understanding the Bible. It has happened that all the answers that I have seen to the former part of the Age of Reason have been written by priests, and these pious men, like their predecessors, contend and wrangle and understand the Bible. Each understands it differently, but each understands it best, and they have agreed in nothing but in telling their readers that Thomas Paine understands it not. Now, instead of wasting their time and heating themselves in fractious disputations about doctrinal points drawn from the Bible, these men ought to know. And if they do not, it is civility to inform them that the first thing to be understood is whether there is sufficient authority for believing the Bible to be the Word of God or whether there is not. There are matters in that book said to be done by the express command of God that are as shocking. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all three after the year 588. Note, in 2 Kings 14:25, the name of Jonah is mentioned on account of the restoration of a tract of land by Jeroboam, but nothing further is said of him, nor is any allusion made to the book of Jonah, nor to his expedition to Nineveh, nor to his encounter with the whale. This table is either not very honorable for Bible historians, or not very honorable for the Bible prophets, and I leave it to priests and commentators, who are very learned in little things, to settle the point of etiquette between the two, and to assign a reason why the authors of Kings and of Chronicles have treated those prophets whom, in the former part of the Age of Reason, I have considered as poets, with as much degrading silence as any historian of the present day would treat Peter Pindar. I have one more observation to make on the Book of Chronicles, after which I shall pass on to review the remaining books of the Bible. In my observations on the book of Genesis, I've quoted a passage from 36:31, which evidently refers to a time after that kings began to reign over the children of Israel, and I have shown that as this verse is verbatim the same as is in 1 Chronicles 1:43, where it stands consistently with the order of history, which in Genesis it does not, that the verse in Genesis and a great part of the 36th chapter have been taken from Chronicles, and that the book of Genesis, though it is placed first in the Bible and ascribed to Moses, has been manufactured by some unknown person after the Book of Chronicles was written, which was not until at least 860 years after. Chapter 2, The New Testament. The New Testament, they tell us, is founded upon the prophecies of the Old. If so, it must follow the fate of its foundation. As it is nothing extraordinary that a woman should be with child before she was married, and that the son she might bring forth should be executed, even unjustly, I see no reason for not believing that such a woman as Mary and such a man as Joseph and Jesus existed. Their mere existence is a matter of indifference, about which there is no ground either to believe or to disbelieve, and which comes under the common head of, it may be so, and what then? The probability, however, is that there were such persons, or at least such as resembled them in part of the circumstances, because almost all romantic stories have been suggested by some actual circumstance, as the adventures of Robinson Crusoe, not a word of which is true, were suggested by the case of Alexander Selkirk. It is not, then, the existence or the non-existence of the persons that I trouble myself about. It is the fable of Jesus Christ, as told in the New Testament, and the wild and visionary doctrine raised thereon against which I contend. The story, taking it as it is told, is blasphemously obscene. It gives an account of a young woman engaged to be married, and while under this engagement, she is, to speak plain language, debauched by a ghost, under the impious pretense, Luke 1:35, that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Notwithstanding which, Joseph afterwards marries her, cohabits with her as his wife, and in his turn rivals the ghost. This is putting the story into intelligible language, and when told in this manner. Chapter 3, Conclusion. In the former part of the Age of Reason, I have spoken of the three frauds, mystery, miracle, and prophecy, and, as I have seen nothing in any of the answers to that work that in the least affects what I have there set upon those subjects, I shall not encumber this second part with additions that are not necessary. I have spoken also in the same work upon what is called revelation, and have shown the absurd misapplication of that term to the books of the Old Testament and the New, for certainly revelation is out of the question in reciting anything of which man has been the actor or the witness. That which man has done or seen needs no revelation to tell him he has done it or seen it, for he knows it already, nor to enable him to tell it or to write it. It is ignorance or imposition to apply the term revelation in such cases, yet the Bible and Testament are classed under this fraudulent description of being all revelation. Revelation, then, so far as the term has relation between God and man, can only be applied to something which God reveals of his will to man. But though the power of the Almighty to make such a communication is necessarily admitted, because to that power all things are possible, yet the thing so revealed, if anything ever was revealed, and which, by the by, it is impossible to prove, is revelation to the person only to whom it is made. His account of it to another is not revelation, and whoever puts faith in that account puts it in the man from whom the account comes, and that man may have been deceived, or may have dreamed it, or he may be an impostor and may lie. There is no possible criterion whereby to judge of the truth of what he tells, for even the miraculous. Amazon.com has more information regarding the author and this book. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With an eclectic collection of insights, knowledge, and trivia from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.